I am Sam Clemens. I am the public information officer for the Sioux Falls Police Department. And a big part of my job is dealing with the media and helping answer questions and relaying information to the public.
Let's just start. We were just talking about, you had talked to somebody about prostitution. Tell me how there's a difference, or how they kind of overlap maybe, with dealing with situations of prostitution and then bringing in this factor of human trafficking.
Well, I think it all probably began with the prostitution. And years ago, we had a particular unit that would focus on that, but it was pretty intensive to get a lot of detectives involved in that. And things have changed over the years, and now we have our street crimes officers. And they have been focusing on prostitution and trying to at least curb some of that. I suppose the hope would be eventually we could eliminate that, but it doesn't seem to have ever happened in the past. So at least if we can curb some of that. They've received in the last probably a couple of years some training about human trafficking, and in that training they learned that a lot of these women that are involved in prostitution are forced into it. And so their focus has changed from curbing prostitution to trying to eliminate the human trafficking that's gone on. So there's a big part of their investigation with the prostitution that involves looking into human trafficking. And then U.S. Attorney's Office started a task force, and so our members of the street crimes unit are attached to that task force as well, so they'll share information with those others.
Sure. So this concept of, well, just focus on – and it's usually women – but just focus on the women involved, you are missing an entire piece of what this industry has become.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that they learned, is that there's a lot more to it than women prostituting themselves. There's people that are forcing – others into it. There's the pimps that are taking the money and taking the profits. We had a case not too long ago where a guy had, I guess, coerced is probably the right word, but talked a woman into coming to Sioux Falls to party, was her words, how it was described. Once they got here, he had her driver's license. He had her cell phone. He had all of her money, and he forced her to prostitute herself and was keeping the proceeds from that, essentially telling her she needed to pay him money before he would take her back home to Wisconsin. We were lucky enough to come across that, and we were able to get her out of that situation, and he was one of the few people that we've arrested for human trafficking.
Officers make connection to some of the people involved or potential offenders, but that there's not always a follow-through where you're able to find the bad guy and arrest them. That's not how this – it's not cut and dry like that.
No, it's not cut and dry. And there's – it's a big part of an investigation. So that initial foray into the prostitution world and trying to find out what's going on there, one of the first things they're talking to these women and finding out is, are they doing this willingly, or is somebody being – I guess, hovering above them, that forcing them to do these things that they don't necessarily want to do. Sometimes they're getting truthful answers, sometimes they're not. And that's one of the things that they talk to them. They may arrest a woman and charge her with prostitution. And when you talk to them later, they go, no, she was being forced into it, but she's too scared or frightened about what may happen or who knows what, but she's not giving up that person that's forcing her. And so there's going to be a lot of challenges, but that's one of the goals that they have is ultimately to find out if somebody's forcing these women into doing something they don't want to do.
Because it's like other types of abuse, there's that fear factor there, that there's so much fright involved that sometimes people lie about it because they're scared of the consequences if they don't.
Yeah, and we've seen a lot of women too that I think the majority of the prostitution arrests, those women have been from Sioux Falls, but we've seen a fair number that have been from other cities, some of them regional like Minneapolis and Omaha, some of them as far away as Los Angeles. So what's going on back home, we don't really have the answers to that. They may have, I don't know, some family members or funds that are tied up or, you know, a car. Or, I mean, who knows what? I mean, we certainly don't know. So getting those women that are in an unfamiliar city to try to come clean and talk about that stuff, there could be a lot of other issues at back home that they're concerned about and don't want to give that information.
Well, and I'm glad you dropped Sioux Falls in there, because we're talking about this in vague terms because that's really the only way to address this, because there are so many different facets of it. But this is happening in Sioux Falls. These are situations that your officers are seeing.
Yeah, and that's kind of the misconception is people think when they hear prostitution, they think of the bigger cities, and you see the shows where you've got, you know, 20 or 50 women that are walking the streets and scantily clad. And we don't have that here. We've never had an area in Sioux Falls where we have a bunch of prostitutes that are hanging out on the streets. There's been different hotels that have been linked to them in the past. More recently, the internet has just exploded. And so there's adult ads, essentially, that women are coming in for a short amount of time, putting their ad up and saying, hey, I'm available. They're calling it that they're escorting and they're not a prostitute, but it's quite clear what they're doing. And when you look at all these ads, you see a lot of similarities between them. And they're using different terminology, but they're just prostituting themselves and advertising that.
I'm sure there's a whole jargon involved in how to read through those ads. That's your real point of contact with anybody involved in human trafficking then, is that ad or that first connection, because otherwise there's no way to get to anyone who's controlling the victims of human trafficking. You have to go that route, right? So take me through how you try to get at least access to these people so that you can figure out if there's a way to charge them with something.
Yeah, that's the real challenge, is getting access into that world. We have guys that are paying women for prostitution. They're not coming forward and saying, hey, I did this. So we've got detectives that are going into that and pretending to be these guys that are hiring them. That's so far has been the best way that we've found to get access in there. The women will do different things and say different things to try to make sure that the guys aren't a cop or law enforcement, but our guys know the tricks. They're able to word things a certain way, and so they're able to get into that where these women believe that it's just another client. Once they get in there, that's when that investigation begins. Now we find out, hey, are you doing this willingly? Is there a reason you're doing this? You know, can we help you get out of a particular situation? Is there somebody that's above you, or is there somebody that's nearby that we can, you know, offer protection and get you to a shelter or something along those lines? But you know, so far trying to crack that world, it's a little tough, and so we just have to pretend that we're these other guys that are looking to hire a prostitute, and hopefully that'll lead us to some place where we can get to the people that are controlling and hopefully bring at least a small dent in the amount of prostitution that's taking place.
It's hard to describe how this works because this isn't your typical public understanding of police work. This isn't somebody pulling over a car on the side of the road that you'll notice. How do you try to explain how these officers work and how they really figure it out without revealing a bunch of strategy? I mean, how do you get that across so that people know that you're working on it and you're trying to make this stop?
You know, there's a couple facets that, I mean, they're undercover, so they're not driving around a police car. They're not in a police uniform. They do have identification, so they'll have their badge on. If they need help, they can call a marked unit so they can get on the radio and call for somebody there. So they're legitimate, but we don't want to make it too obvious because otherwise we're not going to get any responses to the, you know, to the ads when they're, I guess, when they're contacting the people on the ad. So I guess we're trying to obviously curb that and try to limit that. The other aspect is that, you know, that penalty is going to be there for the women that aren't being controlled, that aren't being trafficked, that are being a willing participant in this. So if we can get the message out there that prostitution, we're going to be doing enforcement, we're going to be making arrests, it's going to be the same as officers running radar and stopping cars for speeding. You know, people speed, we know that, but if we can write some tickets out there, hopefully it'll remind people that there's going to be consequences to their actions. Same thing with the prostitution. If we're making these arrests, hopefully the word will spread, you know, Sioux Falls isn't the place to be doing this, and so we can stop at that. The other aspect, you know, we're still trying to get into this and find out what we can do to stop this human trafficking from taking place. And, you know, like I said, the last few years, that's been a big change in our focus. Instead of just making arrests for pimping or prostitution, we're now starting to focus on that human trafficking thing. And are there guys that are bringing women across state lines or long distances for the sole purpose of prostituting themselves when they don't have a choice?
Why are there almost triple the number of arrests this year than there were last year for prostitution in Sioux Falls?
It's just because of the great work that our street crimes officers are doing, that they've recognize that there's a problem here, and so they're taking steps to enforce that and trying to do what they can to curb it. We've had, like I said, we've had that change, I guess, in that focus, and they've had a lot of training about prostitution and human trafficking, so they've changed some of the methods in which they were doing before, and we're starting to see results of that. Having higher arrest numbers, it makes it kind of look bad, like there's a big problem, but to be honest, the problem's been there. We just haven't had the time or resources to try to deal with that. But now we have officers that have that training and have that knowledge of what to look for and how to deal with that. And so that's we're getting a lot more attention paid to that particular crime. And so we're going to see a lot of numbers that spike because we're making arrests. But hopefully, in the long run, those numbers will decline.
It looks like a spike if it were a big bar graph, mm-hmm. this bottom line. But then the number in 2013 is 2. So it's 2, but it's 2. It's not 0 like last year. So tell me how we should look at that number of 2 arrests for human trafficking there.
Well, and I think the human trafficking law, that's a more recent law. So, you know, back in 2005, we didn't have a law like that. So it might be skewed a little bit, but that's that human trafficking, that's been their focus. I mean, they're trying to curb the prostitution, but ultimately they want to find out who these people are that are forcing women into prostitution. So we've had 2 arrests, then there's probably going to be more that have been, I guess, that we haven't had an immediate arrest on, but that information is being passed on to the task force, and that they're going to do the follow-up on that. So anytime we have a task force with local, state, and federal agencies, there's a lot of information that's going back and forth. On our end, we have jurisdiction just in Sioux Falls, so that information gets past the task force and the feds get involved. Well, now they can go across the state lines and they can deal with something in a whole other state. I mean, they can deal with that out in Wisconsin or California or something like that. So they have that ability, and that's the nice thing about having, you know, all these different agencies involved in this task force.
So two may not look like a gigantic number, but 2 people who are involved in that sort of activity is 2 people. It's 2 that are you know, off the street doing the same thing, victimizing more people.
Yeah, and the one I know for sure that one of the cases, it was that man that forced that woman from Wisconsin to be here, and he went to jail immediately for that instead of waiting for the court system or running paperwork through. They recognized that this guy forced her into that, and they were able to make this arrest because we have this law that deals with that. And I think the human trafficking is a felony as opposed to the other laws, which are misdemeanor laws.
Is this a homegrown problem? Is this a problem that people are bringing into town? Is it a combination? Do we know?
I'd say it's probably a combination just based on the area that people are from, the women that we have arrested, the pimps that we have arrested. Most of the women have been local, but we have seen some from region, in our region and also outside that region. So it's showing that there's a need. And I think we see in Sioux Falls what the rest of the country is seeing is that there's prostitution that's going to take place. We know there's people that are willing to pay money for sex, and they're going to go where they can get paid. And so some people may look upon it as a service, but obviously it's not legal, and they're going where they think the money is. So this may be just a rest stop, maybe not necessarily a destination, but a place where they stop for a couple of days on their way to that destination. Where that is, it depends on who you talk to. Some people may be going north, some people may be going south, east, and west. So it's a combination of different factors. Some of it's the location where we're at, the size where we're at, and it's just a midpoint for, the end destination, wherever that may be. What we're doing is pretty straightforward. We're trying to stop prostitution or limit it. I don't know. I don't know what else there is.
It really is that, and maybe that's it, that it is that cut and dry, that it is. You have officers who are responding to ads who are trying to get into this mindset so that they can, you know, stop this criminal activity. And it's not, there isn't a bunch of extra layers of anything. That's really, like, that's how you do it.
I think that's pretty much it, mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's, you know, I guess the other thing is the guys, they're picking and choosing what ads that they're going after. So it's not like every time there's a new ad, they're responding. There might be 30 ads at any given day, and they depending on what's going on, they may pick one ad, they may pick two. And so it's they're not getting out and trying to get everything, because if we had officers that were responding to every single ad that's out there, we'd literally be drawing every single police officer that's out on the street. We've got a lot of other crimes that we have to handle and deal with, and so we've got officers that are dedicated to this, to the prostitution and the human trafficking, but there's a lot of it out there, and it's unfortunate that we don't have the resources to go after everybody, but that's the reality.